Hello there, this is Ryan Sawinski, and unfortunately we're still on break from talking about Babylon 5, but don't fear, we are returning next week with our Season 2 premiere discussion, so make sure to tune in for that one. But in the meantime, we are giving you some of our Patreon episodes. That's right, Patreon. If you have not checked us out on there, come on, it's a new year, it's a new time. If you have the financial means or the incentive, it's a wonderful time. We have a group Discord that you can be a part of. We have three different tiers worth of content, including this one that came out last year. If you want to jump on the bandwagon, make sure to do so. Look us up on Patreon at Yum Yum Podcast. Well, let's get into our discussion of a sci-fi podcast, Woof 359. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Ryan.
How are you going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm here with you, so I'm doing pretty good, pretty well, pretty damn fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here back doing our Patreon content. Huh? How do you feel? Do you feel like giving
like
some
thoughts?
Do you want to give them?
No. I think I'll keep them to myself.
All right, so we scammed you this episode, people. No, we just took your money. No thoughts are going to be given this one. Sorry, cancelled.
Well, there's none of my thoughts. It's all going to be your thoughts, Ryan.
Oh, I'm sure I'll rattle some out of you as well. Twist your arm and say...
Milk them out of me.
Yeah, milk them out of you. Yeah, just put you over a big metal bucket. And just milk those thoughts right into it. So we are here to give our thoughts on something. We've done a game in the past. We've done mainly TV shows. Thought we'd mix it up yet again.
What?
I know, we're crazy. We're off the chain. This is the Yum Yum is unleashed fully here on our Patreon. Yes,
not
unleashed.
Not going wild.
We're gone fully off the chain. So
you can't say that about yourself, Ryan.
No, I said it about us, so it's fine.
No,
so,
you are included in the us. You cannot say that we're off the chain.
Fine, you're off the chain, and I'm with you, so we're off the chain.
No! No, not how it works. Unacceptable, but what are we talking about, Ryan?
We are going to be discussing, in brief, our thoughts on a audio drama called Woof. 359 or 359.
Remind me what that show is about, Ryan.
You've heard it?
Yeah, I know.
I've heard it too.
I was just trying to...
You're trying to get me to lead into the pitch of it. Yeah, so this one, we're not going to get too spoiler heavy into it. It is a definite recommendation.
It's a yum yum.
It's a yum yum for sure. So Woof 359 is an audio drama that is... about this research station that is monitoring the star, the Woof 359, which is a real star, and many people would actually know it from Star Trek, the famous battle with the Borg that we didn't get to see on screen until Deep Space Nine.
We met before.
Yes, sir. We met in battle. I was on the Saratoga at Woof 359.
But it is about this station out there on its own. There's three people on there. They are working for a company. They're not working for the government. They're working for a company that is funding this for what reason?
Just
scientific endeavors. Our main character is the communications officer. So he is out there listening to any forms of communications, radio waves, all of this stuff, broadcasting his thoughts out into space, and that is what we are hearing.
This is the audio log of communications officer Doug Eiffel. I am speaking from the comms room of the USS Hephaestus Station. Welcome to day 448 of our orbit around... Red Dwarf Star Woof 359. Today's weather report, pretty nominal. Surface temperatures averaging at about, a crisp 4,500 degrees Fahrenheit.
We have him. We have the chief of the operation, the no-nonsense boss lady, and then we have the doctor of the ship, the guy who's making sure everyone's staying healthy. That's who we start out with.
It's physical day here on the station. I've spent all day avoiding Dr. Hilbert. There was a moment this afternoon when I thought he'd cornered me in the bathroom, but I was able to avoid him by squeezing into the crawl space underneath the sink. Certain people might call spending 2.5 hours in a cramped hole in the wall just to avoid a mandatory physical examination unreasonable. Some would call it only delaying the inevitable.
But the basic pitch of it is you have these three very different characters in an isolated location on their own, and they start to go a little stir crazy and start to have clashing of personalities.
Some things maybe start to go wrong and they don't know what's happening and why things are happening, and they...
Yeah, and our main guy is a defier of rules. He doesn't like it. He's a slob. He's a bit of a Lister type, but also a little bit more rebellious than that. Lister from Red Dwarf, of course.
He puts in more effort
to do his job. Yeah. He actually cares about doing his job. He just finds it limiting and boring.
Yeah, tedious.
Also, he has a little bit too much fun with his job.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Side projects go badly.
Yes. So that is the pitch at the beginning of the show. It is a very much a situational show, comedy-wise and drama-wise. The first season is really just getting to know the characters, hearing their personalities bounce off one another.
Would you say that it's a slow burn?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a slow burn, but more it misleads you to think that it's a traditional audio drama that we're familiar with in terms of it starts out as a random guy with a smooth voice and a quirky personality narrating about amazing things that we would never encounter ourselves, i.e. Night Vale, i.e. Kakos Industries, Saya, all of that.
But...
Mm.
Unlike at least some of those shows that you listed.
There are other characters.
That wasn't the thing that I was going to go for.
Oh, there are plots?
No, that's also not what I was going to go with.
What were you going to say?
He has more than one tone.
Oh, yes. He isn't monotone like a lot of those. But it definitely does start out with just episodic stories where this episode... our main character, Doug Eiffel, doesn't want to get his medical test done, so he's hiding away in his little room and he's locked himself off, and the other two are trying to get in there and they're going to gas him and everything because he's just being such a pain in the ass. Oh, and all that. Or this episode, the doctor's accidentally made a plant come to life and it's running around and they have to try and kill it before it escapes into the vents. And
one of the experiments that go...
Yeah, and the ship is also alive. We should mention that the ship's computer is an AI that has a personality, is a crew member of its own right.
You would say that she's sentient, right?
They argue it in the show. They do eventually get to that point, and it's a she. She has that identity. Hera, the ship, who glitches audio-wise every now and then, which is a fun little trait in it.
Hello, Officer Eiffel.
I didn't realize you were with us, as it were.
Yes, I noticed.
Go away, Hera. This is a private conversation.
No. If I'm going to be the subject of this little tete-a-tete, I'd like to have my tete in the mix. I want to hear what else Officer Eiffel has to say about me.
I want to talk about relationship with the show and history. What is yours?
You listened to it the whole way through and then made me listen to it because you loved it so much and you knew that I would really enjoy it. And then I did.
Did you know much about it before I put it on for you? Because I don't remember really talking much about it other than saying it's really good.
You explained some of the plot points to me. But then you got to a point where you were just like, no, I'm going to make you listen to this. I'm not telling you anymore.
Yeah.
Once new
developments.
It was mainly when they introduced more characters into the stable And they became a part of the crew that you were like, nah.
Yeah.
We're going to do this together again in a little while.
Yeah. So I found this show. I decided I'm going to start listening to podcasts and audio dramas. And I'm a sci-fi fan. And if you are into science fiction and you want to get into audio dramas, this is a show that is a great entryway point. Reasons why is it's funny. It's good science fiction. Heavy emphasis on character drama and character-focused stories, as well as sci-fi gimmicks. But the biggest thing is it's
beautifully crafted.
Beautifully crafted. Beautifully acted and written. And all of that is great. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. But the big thing that really sold it to me was it's finished. The story's complete. It's over. You can just listen to it from beginning, middle, and end, and you aren't going to be waiting to see if it comes back from an indefinite hiatus like a lot of sci-fi audio dramas that I've listened to after this. I really wanted to hear one that was complete. I wanted to see and hear what an audio drama story is when it's fully done, because I, again, haven't really listened to many audio dramas, especially in
at this point, especially in
this current age of storytelling. So I wanted something that I knew was finished, and this was one that was always flagged. Like, if you want a good sci-fi show and it's finished with good characters and good science fiction premise and stories and it's got an atmosphere and it's funny,
what's
Wolf 359? And I just jumped in.
What was the pitch that you gave somebody or saw about this show in relation to Chekhov's Gun?
Oh, this is Chekhov's Gun, the show. So everything has a payoff, which is also something I really do appreciate. Mm-hmm. Is this show isn't like a few other audio dramas I have listened to in which it feels like it's confined by it being an audio drama. Some audio dramas are a little bit lazy by the fact that they think you can only rely on there's this weird kind of dynamic in which it feels like because it's only audio, they think that they are very limited in the stories that they can tell, which is definitely true. But Wolf 359 doesn't feel like it's a story that is limited by it just being an audio drama.
It feels like it's an audio drama because it makes sense for the story to be an audio drama.
I could see it as not an audio drama very easily.
Not a story that's been crafted to be an audio drama.
Yeah, so I listened to it. I was a little cold on it to begin with. It was this guy, Doug Eiffel, communications guy, smart-ass, quippy, American-type guy who's a bit of a dick. But not in a dude-bro-y way, just in kind of a slightly annoying way. And then the show, you know, I pushed through. I was like, okay, let's just keep listening to more. And you got more of these other two characters in the first couple of episodes. You hear them on the intercom, but they kind of feel like, oh, is this going to be the show in which he's going to be monologuing and we hear about them and we can kind of hear them on the periphery. But before you know it, those two characters, the commander, Minkowski, and the doctor, Dr. Hilbert, take center stage along with Doug, and they are so good. That trio of characters play off of each other really nicely because you have the doctor, you have the commander, who are both rule-abiding, stick-in-the-muds, but in different ways. The doctor is far more cagey and a recluse and doesn't really like social interactions. He doesn't find them pertinent. While Minkowski, the commander, she's just trying to be a good leader, and she's aware that communication is key to that, but she fails at communicating with Doug, the communications officer, because he's such a prick.
Listen to me, Doug. You're blowing this way out of proportion. Just come out and give us the toothpaste. I'm sure Dr. Hilbert will be able to synthesize a perfectly suitable substitute.
Oh no, I'm not falling for that one again.
And then she can't communicate with Hilbert that well because he doesn't think it's important, only when it's needed for his science. and just basic bedside manner. And that's kind of an interesting dynamic that they play around with early on. I would say, though, you gotta stick with the show, because it takes a few episodes to really let you know what the show is actually going to be. Because it lures you in with it being like, we're a fun little comedy sci-fi show in which we're all just goofing around, where we have plot lines like Doug locks himself in his communications room because he refuses to get medical tests done because he's sick of being jabbed with needles. And, you know, they're responding in military ways to his goofiness, and it just becomes over the top in which they're prepared to put sleeping gas in there, but he's made a makeshift breathing apparatus, yeah, so they can't get him, and he has all of the toothpaste as well, mm-hmm, because they wanted to reduce the amount of toothpaste he has, and so he's stolen all of the toothpaste, and it's stuff like that at the beginning that's cute.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's cute. That's so cute and funny. Or like I said, there's the episode in which, oh, Dr. Hilbert in the background, he's talking about how he's made this plant come to life and now it's mind controlling him to feed it more soil. And slowly that becomes like, yeah, a little plot in which it's like, the plant, now it's walking around. We better go get that plant. It could get dangerous.
Hey, I know the plant monster isn't exactly Bambi's mom, but what harm has it really done? Can't we just let sleeping dogweeds lie?
It chose to escalate hostilities, not me.
It starts out with those little sci-fi, quirky comedy things that you would have seen in something like Red Dwarf or Hyperdrive. Mm-hmm. And I loved that. I loved that when I started listening to it. I love those type of little quirky stories. So you have a highlight for you of those kind of little Wolf 359 stories where they have like that little wacky premise? I know you didn't mind the one in which Minkowski accidentally gets drugged up and decides that they should put on the musical.
Yes!
She accidentally gets drugged up and you find out that she is a big fan of Gilbert and Sullivan. Is Gilbert, yeah, and Sullivan?
Yeah.
She likes Pirates of Penzance, so it's, yeah, Gilbert Sullivan or Roger and Hammerstein. But
yeah,
you find out she's a big musical fan. You want to talk about that one a bit?
I find it hard because reflecting upon so many of these things, I think about how they pay off. And I want to talk about how they set it up and how they pay it off, but we're not doing spoilers. So in this episode, how does she end up getting drunk?
Hilbert gives her some medicine because she's being too annoying. Yeah.
They want to sedate her.
What's it actually do? Turn her into a frog?
Nothing so elaborate. Just powerful sedative and narcotic. It will knock her out for the next 12 hours. Plenty of time for the talent show window to elapse and allow us to focus on our real work.
You know, Doctor, you can't solve all your problems by knocking someone out.
People keep saying that, and yet my problems keep going away.
Dog and Hilbert have a really great relationship too, because Hilbert, via Doug, does some nasty little tricks.
Boy.
Like, how can we make coffee? Can you do it with your science? He's like, oh, yeah, but I'll have to steal this thing and do this scientific test and draw a sample from this. And that, you know, you have that kind of dynamic too, which is neat.
Yeah, they both really try and work within the system to get around the system.
Yeah, with the limitations of what, yeah, they've got, because they only have a certain amount of, you know, stock of food and resources and whatever, because they're all out alone, yeah, in space. But she gets injected with some goofy drugs that makes her very, like, truthful and silly.
Yeah, and they're kind of... at the start, Eiffel is trying to abuse this.
Yeah, yes.
For his own gain and get answers to things that he wants to know. And
that's a storage room episode too.
Yeah.
He wants answers about what's in all of these storage boxes.
Yeah, like it took a lot of effort to get all of these things into space from Earth.
Some of them were not allowed to open.
Like, he really wants to open all of them. And then in one of the boxes, so she gets into the armory as well?
No, they're all in these boxes, I'm pretty sure.
They're all in these boxes?
So in the boxes, there's absurd things like, here's some rice. Okay, that's normal. Oh, here's a whole box of rushing nesting dolls. Okay, that's weird. Here's a box of...
Why does this need to be here?
Here's a box of nothing but letters. Okay, and then here's a box with a cannon inside of it. Okay.
Yep.
Here's a box that's locked. A huge, giant box that's locked, and it has a special code number on it. And it has a hole in which you stick your arm in it. And it's like, okay, what the fuck is this? I don't know what this is. And the computer won't answer what's in these boxes either. The computer knows, but can't tell you. It's classified. Mm. Like, the computer wants to, but she can't. Like, literally, it's programmed that she can't talk about the boxes.
And then it crescendos with the cannon.
Because Minkowski is high, and she's decided she wants to put on Pirates of the Penzance with the crew, and... Hilbert's actually gotten into it at this point because he was left alone with her while Doug played around the boxes, and he's in the production. I love that touch. Like, this old scientist man who's like, this is my fault. I drugged her up, so I'll have to participate.
Yeah, and it's also because trying to fight her delusion doesn't work.
No, so he plays with it. And then she decides, for authenticity, we should use the canon in our musical of Pirates of Penzance.
Well, in her, let's call it, excited state, Commander Minkowski decided that a canon would be just the thing to liven up the end of the second act of the play. So she decided to test it by drunkenly lighting the fuse and blowing a hole in the station's hull. Like you do.
This is all very amusing, too, because she is a very straight-laced character. She's, like, the best character to me in the show because she's funny, she's quippy, but she's, like, a no-nonsense, I'm going to keep this all together, I'm trying to form order here with two people who really don't care about it in the way that I want them to. So it's fun to see her throw her hair down, get on top of a cannon, and fire the cannon and blow up the fucking ship and let all the boxes fly into outer space. So the mysteries of those boxes is even bigger because it's like, oh, we can't even open them to find out what were in them and why they were here. But don't worry, dear listener of this episode, the show does not forget and does answer those questions about these boxes. And that is the amazing thing about Wolf 359. It starts out prepping you with just, this is all nonsense comedy stuff. Sure, there's some weird things going on the ship, like some areas of the ship seem like there's a hidden room in there, or there's an episode in which the power goes out and the emergency power kicks on, an audio recording that's distorted and you can barely make out what it's saying, but it sounds like it's a recording of a previous crew on this ship, which is insane because this station's just been made for this crew. So what does that mean? You have like little horror or sci-fi intrigue mystery things in there, but
there's a lot of things that are suspicious.
Yes.
But for the most part, they do a very good job of mostly buffing it out. But there's always something that's left that snags in your brain of being like, but what about that thing?
Yeah.
But why? Like, maybe they give a bit of an explanation, but it's like, no, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't answer everything.
Yeah. And you get, like, the fun little comedy asides. But what makes Wolf 359 work, especially within this medium, is even when it's high-intensity drama in which we're getting crescendoing storylines or a silly story like this, every single episode is simple and to the point, and that doesn't mean the complexity is removed. One of my favorite episodes is filled with high-intensity drama, but the plot of it is someone stole a screwdriver.
So intense.
Someone stole a screwdriver, and that's a big deal. Because yep. at that point in the story, nobody in the crew trusts one another, and they're afraid of someone being like a traitor or a killer, and someone stole a screwdriver means that you could kill me with that screwdriver, but it's still played for comedy, it's still fun, it's still levity, but and you have all of these dynamics going on, but the plot is so simple.
So focused. And so tightly written.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes this show, in a way, work above other audio dramas that want to be super smart and super complex like a TV show. Because yeah. I've seen so many throw too many complex things at you for you to focus on. Because, again, you are limited mm-hmm. by the audio factor. You have to imagine what these people look like. You have to imagine what the ship looks like or the environment or the limitations. So when you do have stories be too far gone and with too many details thrown at you, you do lose the thread a little bit more. But Wolf 359 always manages to keep it simple enough whilst also rewarding you for remembering continuity, to remember setups that you didn't know were setups and stuff like that. It's a really well done show.
Ready for my analogy for that?
Yeah.
It's like a complex knitting pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's all the one piece of yarn, the one piece of wool that's woven in and out and back and forward, and different rows connect back to places that you didn't expect, but everything is there for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't get to see the pattern until really... until it's done.
It's not too late to change your mind. Gotta start thinking about the big...
If you start talking about the big picture, I will kill you. I have a gun.
Someone's gotta think about it.
We keep dancing around it, but the show does switch. The show eventually switches to... it was all fun and games, to anxiety.
Yeah.
The show is... got an amazing momentum for tension.
It has a distinct, and then the Fire Nation attacked.
Yeah, it has a distinct, and then the shit hit the fan. It is very, very, very intense, but not in a brutal way, but just in a great serial pulp way in which you just want to hit the next episode and find out where this is going to go.
You want that Wolf 359 straight in your veins.
Yeah, and the characters...
at least we did.
The characters is what's really important to this because we've sold them to, in this discussion... they're simple, seemingly, but the show knows we got to peel back more and delve into the layers. One of my favorite aspects of the show was they address the fact that our main character is an annoying prick without being lampshading. They don't just say, hey, Doug, you're an annoying prick, or him be like, I know I'm annoying. No, no, no. The show... sits down with the main character and truly examines why
unpacks
this behavior is happening
it.
and actually condemns it. Actually says, hey, you know what? That's not right. You shouldn't be doing this. And it always takes me...
It really matters that he is a dick, why he's a dick, and why he does or doesn't change.
Yeah. And again, Minkowski... you find out why she's such a stick in the mud. You start to sympathize with her. You get where she's coming from. Hilbert.
You understand all of these characters in such a deep way by the end of it.
Like, another character I really like is Hera, the computer. There does come a point in which, and we've seen this happen in some other sci-fis too, but the way that they do it here, it reminds me of Star Trek Voyager, honestly, in terms of there comes a point in which one of the main human characters reacts to her by reminding her she's a computer, thus she doesn't have a say. And that's like a really confronting thing in the show, because you, the audience, and you feel like you know the other characters, we all kind of feel like, yeah, here is the computer, but she's a person. She's got a right.
She's a part of the crew.
She's saved
us
the day so many other times before. She's super smart, capable. She's an individual. But then you get a moment in which one of the other characters that you like and know and think about will just offhandedly just say, your computer though,
yeah,
kind of attitude. Basically, because we talked about this a little while back with Star Trek Discovery, in which in Star Trek Discovery, there was that moment in which Michael was acting as the captain and Dr. Hugh Culber gave her his medical opinion and mm-hmm. she could not refute it, because there was no reason within her authority to refute it. So the writing lazily just had her say, okay, you can go now, because...
Yeah.
And it's similar in that way, but done well in terms of the character had no way to refute the logic and the reasoning behind what the computer character was saying. And so the only way to...
An ad hominem attack when the definition doesn't fit.
Yeah, so just shuts Hera down by just dehumanizing her, which is of course ironic because she's not a human; she is an AI. But it is a low move, and they're not afraid to make your characters unlikable in this show. Oh, that's something I really do love, when a show isn't afraid to make you not like their characters, but not to the point of you hating them enough to not want to listen.
You can not like them and understand them.
Yeah, yeah. And they are not cowards in Wolf 359.
No.
They're like, this character did a horrible thing. Oh, we know that they did that, and we're not going to forget that. That's a thing that they did, and that was wrong.
The writers are not going to forget it. And some characters won't forget it.
Yeah, and it definitely kicks up into gear. The tension rises. The end of the first season, those final two episodes are like, you're biting your nails and pumping your fist at the same time.
Cranks
it is
the tension up.
And it is truly something to behold. I love also in these type of things, I love in a sci-fi setting, I love a lonely location. Like a colony, like a space station, just like a spaceship alone, like Red Dwarf. I love that atmosphere of you're all alone in the night. In space, no one can hear you scream. But this also has the joy of, it's a mixture of Alien, in which you have the shitty company, but also the mixture of Babylon 5, in which Earth is kind of shit, and they're not going to help you. You just have to break and bend the rules to suit what you have to do out here, or else you'll die in the vacuum of space. I love that, and I love, you know, it can be a little tropey or cliched, but the location, aka the space station, the base, whatever, isn't what it seems. There's hidden rooms and secret recordings, and could there be someone secretly hiding on the ship that we don't know about? I love that type of stuff. I know it can be a little corny at times, but this show does that so well. Wolf 359 does that really, really well. Gets you with this atmosphere. Like, I'm not a big horror fan. I'm not saying Wolf 359 gets into horror, but there are episodes in which you get a cold sweat because the whole episode is... like Doug is afraid of spiders, right? And they found a secret lab somewhere and he's in a space suit and a spider jumps out at him and crawls inside of his space suit. And the whole episode is them talking to him inside of his suit, telling him what he needs to do to survive. And that's the episode. Again, simplicity.
Listen to me. Whatever you do, you must remain calm, okay? Don't let go of that wall. Don't float away. Don't make any sudden movements. It won't sting you unless it's frightened, but you have to remain completely still, okay?
The ideas snowball.
Yeah, and even that, there's, this isn't a spoiler necessarily, but there is a build-up and setup to that as well in terms of, we find out that Doug has been skipping doing his space walks. He doesn't like to go outside the ship and walk around in his spacesuit. He doesn't like doing that. So there's an episode in which they force him to do that. And, oh, wouldn't you know it, catastrophe happens and he's stuck outside and they have to figure out how to get him out of the situation. I love that type of stuff, especially in an audio drama. Again, you're limited by the audio, but this show doesn't make it feel like that. It makes it feel like they're using it to the best ability, in which you're not even thinking about the logistics that one has to use for an audio show.
It's limited by the fact that it's an audio drama, but it does not limit the audience's imagination.
Or the writing.
No.
Yeah, like, you, the audience, are fully immersed and the writers are not saying, then it's not as if the writers are sitting down saying, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that because this is only audio. This is one of the best sci-fi epics because there is an overarching story. There's a big ploy going on. There's a big mystery. There's character arcs.
Yeah.
There's something going on at Wolf 359. And they have to figure out what's going on in the space station, what's happening back home, what's happening with the star itself. There's an actual big plot that once you finish the show, you sit down and go, that made sense. That character's motivations made sense, even if they were a bad person. I love that too.
Clicks into place.
Yeah, I love that too. All of the villains in the show, every antagonistic character, whether they're an actual villain or just an antagonist, you completely understand what their worldview is and why they do the things that they do. This isn't a show that sits down and just vilifies the villains. It actually gives you a breathing room to sit back and go, that makes sense. That's, of course they would act like that. Yes, that's their motivation. Of course. Brilliant. And we did say, more characters come into the show. That also changes up the environment. It changes up the stakes of things. Who are these new characters? What are their intentions? What are their motives? Central 3 don't know who they are. Do we? So we're learning who these new characters are as our main crew are learning as well. Again, basic 101 stuff, but it's done super well. Like, my favorite newer character is the head of the new team of people that come onto the ship later on. There's like a trio of them, and he's a real army guy. Kepler. Kepler's a great character. He's a great no nonsense, like, I do not have time for you to waste my time.
Can we
character.
Insert a little bit of his speech that he gives at the start?
Oh, about his, was it whiskey or bourbon?
Whiskey, I think.
I like this scotch. A lot. I like the taste. I like the smell. I like the feel of it in my hand.
Is there a point to this?
Yes. And you're missing it. Here's the thing. End of a long day at work, I want to have this bottle of whiskey. It will make my life better. But if it started to get in the way of my work, I could get rid of it and things would be... well, they'd be more or less fine. I'd be sad, but life would go on.
Again, the voice acting is great. The characters are really fun. And here's the thing. It's a funny show. It's an intense show. But the sci-fi premises that they build upon are really great stuff. Like, They delve into, is there alien life out there? They delve into, like, futuristic technologies, stuff in space. They deal with, like, the what is it to be human questions, obviously, with one of the characters being an AI. If you are wanting a good science fiction story with well-written characters, with stuff that actually pays off, with actual, like, time and energy put in from behind the scenes, because that's the thing I love too about Wolf 359. You listen to it and you can tell that they've thought about this. This is a story they wanted to tell and they knew they had to think about it to tell it. Really great stuff. Again, cannot recommend even, like, it's so high of a recommendation. I do want to ask, Rachel, with Wolf 359, as a podcast, did you have a favorite scenario that they got themselves into?
Oh, there are so many.
Because mine is when they're stuck on the one of their little shuttlecrafts playing poker. And they hear a knocking on the door from outside. That's like such a Twilight Zone type of idea. Knocking on the outside and then someone's radioing in from outside and it's one of them.
Yeah.
I love that. That's a great scenario. And they're like, can we just ignore this and keep playing poker? But it's me out there. And then the guy radioing is like, hey, I'm out here. Who's ever in there being me is an imposter. Kick them out.
Yeah. I think one of the ones that I enjoy the most that I can remember right now, because it's been a couple of years since we listened through the show and my memory isn't as great as yours for these kind of things. The previous crew.
Yeah, they discuss what a previous crew, if there was one on there. They do a good job of giving you enough information without giving you all of it. It gives you the air of, was there a previous crew or wasn't there? Don't worry, I'm keeping it a little bit vague because if people want to check it out, do so. But I want to just guarantee for you, they do give an answer.
Yes.
They do let you know, but the way they present it for quite some time is really well done. Is that real, isn't it?
The way that they explore and unfold not just the ideas that that brings, but the suspicions that it casts on everything, whether it is the case that there was a previous crew and that there something went wrong, or if they're the first crew, then what are all of these things for? Why did this person say this thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Because as soon as they get the suspicion, it casts a different light on interactions that they had before they left Earth, mainly. Yeah.
And one of the things that's interesting, too, is Doug, our main character, isn't an idiot. He can be a little bit dumb and reference heavy at times, but when push comes to shove,
he's a dickhead.
When push comes to shove, he actually proves that he's probably the smartest person on the ship. He comes up with ingenious ideas to get out of situations that are completely logical but feel off the wall, crazy. But when you sit back, you go, no, that makes sense.
Very, very true to the fundamentals of engineering.
Yeah, yeah. And one of my favorite storylines of his is, again, not to go too heavy, but he is trapped in an escape pod or something at one point, and he has to figure out how he can jet himself into the orbit in which he could get into communications range with some other station. And he has to figure out, okay, I don't have enough food and water to survive using the, and I only have like the right thruster. So if I use it at this time, and he has a cryo bed, and he figures out the maths of how many times can he freeze himself, wake back up, hit the thruster, go back into the freeze, blah, 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 before he can get into the right area to be able to radio for help. And that's a whole episode in which it's just him by himself talking to the logical version of himself. They do that too. They do a great job, but they do a wonderful job of utilizing the audio format in which he's talking to himself. You know, he's talking like, you know, not talking out loud crazy, but in his brain, he's negotiating with his logical side. And he's like, okay, what do I do? And his logical side's telling him, okay, this is what you got to do. Can you do this? And then they debate about, well, if I do this. And you feel like you're being taken along the ride so many times in which you're watching the characters problem solve. If you are also wanting a show that is about problem solving,
Wolf 359 is the show for you. Wolf 359 is Chekhov's gun, the show, and problem solving. Some of the problem solving in this show, I sit back and marvel at because I could not imagine coming up with it. It's a masterpiece, baby. There's some situations that they save themselves and get themselves out of that I really thought, how do they pull this off? Like, they did it. Marvelous job, but wow, they really pulled this one off.
So well orchestrated and planned, and everything feels so deliberate in hindsight. Nothing feels telegraphed or overly planned.
And again, the show is simple. The music, very simple, non-intrusive. It's not telling you how
simple
to feel.
Simple but not standard.
Yeah, the sound design is really good. You hear the metal doors open. You feel their feet slamming on the ship. You feel the punches.
Oh, that atmosphere.
Great sense of atmosphere from the sound alone, let alone all the writing. You really do get the sense that you're out there alone in the middle of space.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. This is the only audio drama that I really would listen to on multiple occasions, like multiple times. This is one. There's others that I would
plan to re-listen to it.
Yeah, this is a re-listen to show. This is one where it's actually rewarding to re-listen to it. And I don't think there are many audio dramas out there that I could truly say that about. Like, I don't think I could re-listen to Welcome to Night Vale anytime soon. I can't go back to the beginning of that show.
We're not going to re-listen to St. Elwick's Neighborhood Association.
No. Like, so there are a lot of audio dramas, a lot of podcasts, unfortunately, do live in that world of one and dones. But a show like this is not a one and done. You could, and you'll get a great time out of it, but there's stuff that will linger in your brain, and you think, well, if I re-listen to it, will this be there?
Yeah, like, I asked you when you were very clear that you wanted me to listen to it too. I was like, oh, well, do you want to just start from the beginning? Or I can listen to it and catch up to where you are, and then we can start listening to it together. And you were like, no, I'm going to finish it, and then we're going to listen to it together.
Yeah.
Because you were so clear that you would want to listen to it again.
And I didn't want to stop and wait for you to catch
up. No, you had no intention of doing that. You were like, no, we're just going to do it again.
Yeah. And again, this show knows what the fuck it's doing.
Oh, yes.
It all adds up. It all makes sense. When you find out what the larger picture is, the bigger picture of it all, it makes sense. It isn't a fucking Star Trek Discovery show in which it's a mystery box for the sake of it and they made it up as they went along. The star doesn't turn a different color because someone screamed real loud. No, it's not that. It's not stupid like that. This has silly little ideas that you think are silly, and then and that's the thing too. The show will present you with something silly and you'll think, haha, that was silly. And then, I don't know, 30 episodes later, it will turn around and be like, hey, that wasn't silly, by the way. That was actually something we set up, and it actually led to something fucking cool. And I can't remember. I think there's like 60 episodes. I haven't double-checked. There's a decent amount of episodes. They have the episodes, and they have mini-episodes in between some of them. I recommend just listening to everything that they've got on there. They're all fantastic. There are, in one season in between, they had all of these mini-sodes that were the backstories of all of our characters, and I loved those. Those were some of my favorites. It's actually a mini-episode that's actually like 50 minutes long that is just literally an interview with the head of the company that sent them out to Wolf 359, and that's one of the best fucking pieces of entertainment I've ever listened to. Like, I would listen to just that episode alone in isolation outside of revisiting the show again. I would easily, that's like one of my favorite episodes, and it's one that you could easily skip. You could, because it's not a main story one. But it's not episode 52.
You would be missing out.
You would definitely be missing out. And, you know...
That is what we're saying.
Oh, yeah. You would miss some great context as to why the situations have unfolded the way they have. And that's interesting.
Okay. Well, we've already said repeatedly and sung its praises that it is a yum yum.
Yeah.
Are you done giving your thoughts now?
I say this, I don't have any negative things to say about this show.
There's no buts when it comes to the recommendation of this show. It's just listen to all of it. We really hope that you enjoy it as much as we did and get satisfaction.
Yeah, and
from seeing it completed.
If you're not into audio dramas or a newbie to it, it's a great one to kick off the
feel.
It will
kind of spoil you for other audio dramas.
Yes and no. But
no, but
I understand
that. It's such high caliber. It can be hard to find other shows that bring it the way that Wolf 359 does.
It is, unfortunately. I love audio dramas. I love listening to podcasts. But more often than not, a lot of them are style over substance, while this is way more about the substance. Again, if you are into audio dramas and you haven't listened to Wolf 359, well, this will be a walk in the park for you.
Please give it a go and give it a solid go, like Ryan was saying.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't know if there's much else to say. I hope that the team that made this show go on to make more. Not Wolf 359. The story's done. I don't need any more of that story, those characters.
No.
They finished it. It was
don't
great.
Don't touch it. Don't touch
but,
it.
But they have gone on to make one or two shorter form ones, like Time Bombs, which is a three-episode podcast about people disarming bombs. Most of the voice cast is back for that one. And then they have done an anthology type show since then. But I hope one day, if they have the material that they want, come back with a serialized, full-fledged story again. I'd love to hear what they would do with that. But for the time being, they've been kind of doing more short-form one-offs things, which is perfectly fine. They did Wolf 359. I don't expect them to come out with another one straight off the bat. If they want to take their time making short form stuff, that's fine by me.
Now, Ryan.
Yeah.
Give me back that toothpaste.
Not if you give me back the screwdriver. You need to give me this. You got the screwdriver, right? You know what? The only way
I didn't take the screwdriver.
Okay, the only way to prove that you didn't take it and I didn't take it is we'll just have to fully unclothe and just take off all of our clothes to prove that we're not secretly hiding the screwdriver, okay?
Maybe it's in the toothpaste.